Well, here we are on a blustery, windy morning. And in the studio, of course, Amy Pettit.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're about to begin another version of Ag Matters morning. So in a little bit, we're expecting a call coming up from Homer.
That's right.
Say a little bit about who it is that's going to be calling in.
Yeah, well, I'm expecting Mr. Jack Bennett to call in. Today's topic on Ag Matters is hemp production in Alaska.
Oh.
I've been tracking the bills in the legislature that have anything to do with agriculture, and there's Senate Bill 6, which is about hemp production. So I started looking for someone, an expert, so to speak, that could chat with us. So hopefully the phone will ring here in a minute or two and we'll start that conversation with Jack. In the interim, I just want to remind folks that it is March. It's PFD month. You have till the end of the month to sign up for your 2017 PFD. And a reminder to folks that we encourage them to pick, click, and give when they do that. Alaska Farmland Trust is an organization that you can choose to support in that way. We have a goal of reaching, we have a goal of 100 Alaskans supporting us through Pick, Click, Give this year. And the last check, we were at 64 Alaskans. So we have a little ways to go, but I'm excited that we've got that many so far. And also, obviously, Radio Free Palmer is another great organization that's hosting this show for us. And hopefully some folks will pick you guys as well.
Right. And and that's the good news. You don't have to pick just one.
That's right.
You can pick more than one.
You can pick more than one. And the minimum designation to different charities, I think, is $25. So it's not too painful. And the money is put to really good work. All the charities involved with Pick, Click, Give have been vetted by the state of Alaska. And we're sure that they're doing good work in their communities. So it's a good way to support the causes that you care about.
So until the phone rings, we could just think back over last week's show. I had a chance.
Billy pigs.
I know your guest has a passion for pigs.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He is really, I've seen him and talked with him before. He was, he'd been involved, of course, whenever the Alaska State Fair begins. And we'll talk more about that in a bit. Because right now, I think we have our guest.
Yeah.
Right. Good morning. You're on Radio Free Palmer with Amy Pettit's Ag Matters.
Good morning. It's Jack Bennett.
Hi, Jack. This is Amy. Thanks so much for calling in.
Oh, sure.
Yep. Are you down in Homer this morning?
Yes, I am.
And Mike and I were having a brief discussion about the weather here in Palmer. It's an awful windy day. What have you got down there in Homer?
We're having a cold spell in the single digits, but it stopped snowing for the time being.
Yeah. All right. Well, this half hour show seems to buzz by super fast with hardly enough time to cover all the topics. So let's jump right into hemp production. Before you called in, Jack, I was telling listeners that I've been tracking the different bills introduced in the legislature this year that have anything to do with agriculture. And when Senate Bill 6 came up, I started following it. And then I wanted to cover hemp production on our Ag Matters radio show. And as I looked around, you seem to be one of the experts in the state. So tell us a little bit about how you got involved with hemp production.
Sure. Approximately a year and a half ago, I was just looking at industrial hemp as a sustainable construction material.
Okay.
I didn't realize it had 25,000 in industry applications, anywhere from cosmetics to textiles to biocomposites, what have you. I read a national publication about America's first lime-based hemp-insulated home. It was built for the former mayor of Asheville, North Carolina.
Okay.
The architect was inspired to propose this to his client after getting a few chuckles because his baby daughter is impacted by multiple chemical sensitivity syndrome.
Could it be
going to be around anything synthetic, such as the flame retardants coming off of petroleum-based byproducts, such as formaldehyde-based OSB plywood,
okay,
sheetrock. So as an advocate of organic foods, using natural herbs for healing, I could easily see the benefits of building all natural.
Yeah. Wow. That's fascinating. And, you know, yesterday I was looking online. I was looking for an image that I could use on my Facebook post about today's radio show. And so I simply Googled hemp. And then when the results started coming in, I clicked on the images selection and I was floored by the number of infographics and charts and graphs and historical documents. And boy, if you want to spend some time in one of those rabbit trails, that you can really just find so much fascinating information, hemp is the way to go. There's just, like you said, 25,000 uses for the plant. So let's start on the legislative side of things. So Senate Bill 6 was introduced by Senator Hughes, right? And that is to remove hemp from the control of the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Marijuana Board. Is that correct? Am I saying that correct?
Yes, that's correct. The 2014 Farm Act bill enabled states to form their own regs in policies and pass their own laws and regarding industrial hemp production.
So at the national level, the states have been given the green light to make their own choice and do what they want to do with hemp.
Yes, it turns into the state's rights issue.
Okay.
Currently, there's legislation at the federal level to get it to pass at the federal level. Senate Bill 6. It was written in a way to be a good program for the state. When approximately a year and a half ago, I learned that 28 states at the time had taken the banned resource out of prohibition.
Okay.
And so it made me look into what's going on for this state. And at the time, the senator had recently retired. And so I was able to present this to Governor Walker during a presentation to the Homer City Council.
Okay.
And 2 days later, I was at his state offices in Anchorage and meeting with the senior advisor. And so the senior advisor encouraged me to find a new champion, a new sponsor.
Right, because that was Senator Johnny Ellis, right, who had introduced it before and then retired, and so now we've got Senate Bill 6 with Shelley Hughes, and that's moving through well, right? Through all the hearings that I've heard about, there's positive comments and things are looking good, right?
It's so well received. A lot of stigmas are a lot of myths are being removed. People are seeing that it's not an MJ product, a marijuana product,
right,
but rather an industrious, it could be Alaska's new cash crop.
Sure. So when I've been chatting with folks about this in the farm community, and the first response that I've gotten is, oh, that won't grow here. Hemp won't grow here because of our long daylight hours in the summer. So can you talk to us about that?
Sure. There's documentation of a 1916 Alaskan crop.
Oh, really?
And it stated it fruited abundantly.
Okay.
In addition to 1916, it was grown as a research crop in with the Division of Ag Commissioner, State Agronomist, Sig Rigstad.
Oh,
in
yeah.
1963.
Sig's still around.
So currently we're locating Sig Rigstad, who's out in Palmer.
Yeah, yeah.
And he understand that Division of Ag, state agronomists, they're seeking that data.
Oh, very
and,
good.
And I understand they're in touch with each other, exchanging data and information.
Very good. Well, I just quickly want to remind folks that if you're listening live on Wednesday morning to Ag Matters Radio, our guest today is Jack Bennett, and we are talking about hemp production. If you have a question for Jack, feel free to give us a call at 907-745-8951. All right, so it looks like, or Jack says it will grow here. And, you know, I have been, when I work for the State Division of Agriculture, I was lucky enough to go down to Manitoba and tour a number of different agriculture operations. And one of our stops was a facility called Hemp Oil Canada. And we saw the fields of hemp growing, and the crazy different variety in the plants was one of the things that surprised me. There were hemp plants that were, you know, 4 or 5 feet tall. And then there were these hemp plants that were like 10 and 12 feet tall, and they were grown for different things, right? One of those was grown for the fiber, like you were talking about, in construction purposes. And one of those was more an oil producing plant for hemp oil. So let's jump into that. What can you tell us about hemp oil and its fascinating benefits?
Oh, sure. So a hemp farmer will grow it specifically for their industry. So if it's for the fiber, they're lengthy, they're tall, 14 feet high, and it's grown just for the fiber that's used for textiles, biocomposites. Europe has been manufacturing automobile parts with biocomposites, hemp plastics.
Oh, really?
It's stronger than fiberglass on a boat, more flexible and lighter than an Indy 500 race car.
Wow.
At the end of the car's life cycle, the ingredients are 100% biodegradable.
Yeah.
They go into manufacturing the new components of the new car. The state of U.S. has wanted this technology to come over for a really long time. State of Indiana is working on a facility designed to manufacture American automobiles with hemp plastics.
Wow, good.
All of the fiber for this particular U.S. Hemp manufacturer, all of the fiber is totally sold out to the automotive partner. They'll take it all. If you're growing it for the seeds, the plants, they only grow up to about four feet high.
Okay.
And you're growing it for the seeds, the flower off the female plant. They look bushier than the fiber grown hemp.
Yeah.
So
and the seeds are great. I don't know if you're an eater of hemp seeds, but I buy mine at the local health food store and put them on salad and put them in my smoothies, and my kids eat them in their granola, and they're really delicious.
I understand. Hemp seeds, they're high in omega-3s and 6s.
Isn't there protein involved too? I think they're, don't they have a, isn't there a protein value to hemp seeds?
Correct. In 1942, there was a case law on a chicken farmer that was before the judge for feeding his chickens the seeds for feed.
Okay.
And the judge replies, you know, this is outlawed now for a few years. Why are you growing hemp seeds and feeding to your chickens? And the chicken farmer replied, my father did. He grew the hemp to feed the seeds to his chicken. They're a natural source of protein, and it's a natural steroid to beef them up.
Oh, okay.
And my father's father did, so I didn't think nothing of it. It's a $280 million U.S. industry, the hemp foods industry alone. You'll see it in your natural health food stores, your Fred Meyers and Walmart selling the granola bars and cereals. And we've been importing the seeds from overseas all this time. I mean, Canada grows it specifically to supply multi-million dollar U.S. Hemp factories to process the Dr. Bronner's oils, cosmetics, what have you.
That's fascinating.
More importantly, the seeds can be extracted into a superfood, an alternative medicine called cannabinoids, or short for CBD. It has no psychoactive, no tetrahydrocannabinol effects. It gives relief to people impacted by Parkinson's. Okay. They'll take the oil, and it normalizes the speech impediment and their body. It chills out their body in a few minutes. Children impacted by epilepsy seizures, 1 out of 5 physicians prescribe CBD.
Wow.
It just stops the seizures in seconds for the babies. And then there's case studies of reduction from 200 seizures per year down to 1 or 2.
Wow. My
little brother grows. He was 1 of 9 hemp farmers in Oregon that grows it for that industry. In 2015, it was a $95 million industry. By 2020, the value at stake for that industry alone is $450
million. Wow. Wow. So it kind of sounds like there's endless opportunity and benefit. I remember when I was, again, at that Hemp Oil Canada facility, the gentleman that was leading the charge there, if I'm not mistaken, he talked about there being 2,000 different varieties of hemp plant. Is that correct?
I would have to do my homework.
Yeah.
Get back to you.
Unfair question there, but I do remember him saying that there's so many different varieties and there's so many different uses, and we haven't even begun to realize the potential of this plant. And you know, it from the things that you've talked about, whether we're talking about building, you know, biodegradable cars or insulation for the walls that don't have chemicals and oils and seeds and all these things. And he was just making the point that if we were allowed to do more research and more people were experimenting with this plant, he said, you know, I mean, he's a firm believer that the cure to all cancers is in one of these varieties of hemp plant, right? And that we just haven't found it yet. And, you know, hopefully that's true. That would be a good thing. So, So let's say that Senate Bill 6 passes and that there's a congruent House bill and everything is, we're given the green light at the end of the legislative session. What will that mean for producers in Alaska? How will they start? And where are the seeds and the varieties and what's next?
Mm-hmm. Well, state agronomist, Mr. Rob Carter, a division of that, Commissioner Arthur Keyes, have formed a great program. They're very influential in creating a good program for the state. So I understood there could be an error in my understanding. There'll be various pilot farms that can be used for industrious purposes. I'm currently shaping a model. I'm building a model hemp insulated home in Homer. As a solution to affordable housing in rural Alaska and solving their rising cost of energy.
Oh, very good.
I'm halfway completed. So on the data is in Canada, on 1 hectare of land in a 100-day harvest, you'll have enough of the woody core that makes the insulation material. And in 8 days, depending on how many casual laborers you have, you can build the shell in 8 days.
Wow.
So I'm trying to formulate how many acres to X amount of homes.
Yeah.
For just like a 3 to 5 year forecast, what that looks like on a feasibility plan.
Oh, very good. So what I'm hearing you say then is on the farmer side of the equation, folks should be paying attention to what the Division of Ag is doing because they're forming a plan and perhaps going to do some variety trialing and be able to make some recommendations to folks about what they should be growing. Is that correct?
I mean, we're really fortunate to be in the state of Alaska. with the current members that are at the Division of Ag. The governor supports this bill.
Good.
And those elements have to be in place for it to be a good program for your state. That's
absolutely
what I understand. I did a lot of R&D in the last year and a half. When I went to my little brother's hemp fields, the problem was after harvest during harvest, he lost his crop. The state told him to stop harvesting because it exceeded 0.3% tetrahydrocannabinol.
Okay.
A lot of the other farmers in the U.S. continental were getting their crops burnt, or the farmer was told by the state to burn the crop or just let the crop rot in the field, while the MJ farmer that lives down the street has 20% THC. And they get to keep the crop. So I wanted to come back up to Alaska with this insight and tell the story.
Yeah.
And advocate that 0.13% is an arbitrary number created by a Canadian scientist. And that's what the world has went on. So there needs to be a new standardization, a new testing.
Okay.
And I've advocated to raise that 0.3% to 1%. Still not enough for psychoactive.
Right. If you wanted to grow marijuana in Alaska, you could grow marijuana in Alaska. But the folks that are trying to grow hemp, you know, remove some of those restrictions so that they can grow the plant, harvest the plant, and use it for its intent, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, to ban hemp, it's like putting a ban on portobello mushroom. Hemp farmers shouldn't be treated as criminals. Fingerprinted, background check. They should be treated as a regular farmer that grows wheat, barley, what have you.
Yeah. So, Jack, if folks want to follow the work that you're doing with the home that you're constructing down in Homer and some of the other projects, what's the best way to keep track of you and watch what's going on?
You could find me online.
Okay.
Jack Bennett Hemp. That's Bennett spelled with two E's, two N's, two T's.
Okay. And Hemp Solutions Alaska, that's your Facebook page, right? One of them?
That's a good page.
Okay.
Good resource.
Yeah. All right. Very good. So we've talked a little bit about the farming side of the equation and the different uses for hemp and all the different medical benefits, et cetera. So we're wrapping up towards the end of the show, Jack. I know the time really flies by, but what else do you want to share with listeners about hemp moving forward in Alaska?
Well, it's just that the state is in the fiscal crisis,
right?
But it's our opportunity to fix it, and we just got to let the farmers, give them the freedom to farm, and find out. I mean, this plant fiber technology, it enables us, it's a bridge to a greener world, not just for our generation, but for our children's generation and the generation after that.
One of the things I remember from being at down in Manitoba was part of their facility, their building, they had insulated with hemp fiber, and the other part of the building was just normal, you know, insulation. And this was in Manitoba in July. So it was quite hot. It was, you know, 80 some degrees. And we came in from outside. Everybody was kind of hot and sweaty. And we came into the part of their building that was insulated with normal insulation. And it was still kind of stuffy and hot. And everybody was, you know, trying to cool off. And the gentleman, he said, now come into this room. And he hadn't told us what was going on, but we all walked into the other room and it was like instantly cooler. And we're all kind of looking around for the fan or the air conditioning and kind of go, what happened? Why is it cooler in here? And that part of the building was insulated with hemp insulation. And it was just, it was doing a better job at keeping the building cool during the summer than the industrial insulation. And that was just one of those, another fascinating piece of that trip down there. So I've witnessed it.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad you went down there, Amy, and got hemp empowered.
Yeah, it was a cool experience.
And for you and Mike having me on.
Yeah, you bet. Well, we're glad that you were able to be our guest this morning, Jack, and I'm sure this is going to lead to more questions for folks. And your timing is good. You mentioned the Division of Ag Director. Arthur is set to be our guest next week on Ag Matters on the 15th. So not sure if he's listening out there, but hopefully he's going to chat with Rob and they'll have some answers to some of our questions today about what the Division of Ag is going to do if this legislation passes.
Amy, there's no better people to run it.
I agree.
Mr. Keyes and
yeah.
Mr. Carter.
Rob is an incredible agronomist and he knows a lot about a lot of different things. So I think we are in good hands. So hopefully the legislature will keep moving forward. Are you aware of any hearings coming up or any ways that just regular Alaskans can get involved or follow the process?
Utilize Google Senate Bill 6, Industrial Hemp Production Alaska. It'll pull up a link and it'll take you to the file. There's audio recordings of previous hearings,
yep.
Very short hearings, very really inspiring, historic hearings.
Yeah.
And documentations and letters of support.
Good. I would just say too, if folks are listening and they are in support of it, consider sending a quick email to their own representative or senator saying, you know, I support this moving forward. Jack, I hate to cut off the good discussion, but I'm looking at the clock and I just heard the whistle blow in Palmer, so I know that our time is just about up. So thank you so much again for being on Ag Matters this morning.
Likewise. Enjoy the day.
All right. Have a great day, Jack. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, that was fascinating.
Yeah.
This guy has done his homework, as
they say. I think
he's
probably forgotten more than we'll ever know,
oh,
right?
Oh, man.
He's on
that
top.
Was very, very pertinent, timely, et cetera. And look to hear more about this as time goes on. I especially look forward to next week and see what the Division of Agriculture has to say about the process.
Yeah, we'll hear what's going on at the Division of Ag next week. And 2 weeks out, we've got Mark Austin from the Muskox Farm. He's going to join us. And then at the end of the month, the last Ag Matters for March is Rochelle Plummer with the Matsu Co-op and egg production here in the Valley. So exciting shows coming up.
Okay. So thank you, Amy Pettit, for being here for another edition of Ag Matters.